Good evening. I'd like to invite you this evening to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Pretty much all the verses that we're going to be talking about this evening will be on the screen, but I think it would be good for you to see them in your Bibles as well. We're going to be in and around this chapter all evening. So if you have your Bibles open there, that'll be great. Cliff, do you mind? Oh, okay, we got it. All right. Let's stand together. We're just going to begin by reading just two verses to start with, but we're going to look at a lot of verses in this passage. It's hard to narrow this down to just a handful of verses because it's a long narrative passage. And I want to talk about the life of King Saul, king of Israel. I'll just say this on the onset here, that Saul's story intrigues me. Saul's life intrigues me. And I'll explain that as we go. But as I study this, for some reason, it just captures my attention. And especially in contrast to the next king, King David. They both did wrong. One was rejected, and one God established his kingdom forever. And so we're going to look tonight at Saul. I trust that you'll bear with me with my voice. I have been with kids now for a week and a half, and they're very sharing. So I came down. I could feel it coming on Friday night, and I had a terrible day yesterday. I'm actually doing better today. I've been pumping myself with vitamin C and zinc, vitamin C and zinc, and what is that other stuff? No, the doTERRA, On Guard. Yeah, so I've been taking all kinds of stuff. But anyway, that's beside the point. So we're going to read verses, just two verses as we begin. Chapter 12, verse 14, Samuel is speaking to the nation of Israel. They have just demanded a king. And so God gave them King Saul. He was made king back in chapter 11. And Samuel is now addressing the nation. We're not going to read the entire chapter, of course, but verse 14, Samuel says to the nation and to King Saul, "If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord." He says that in several ways. Fear the Lord, serve him, obey his voice, don't rebel against this commandment. "Then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." And they had a history of this, did they not? And so that was Samuel's commendation to them. As King Saul started his reign, as he urged them to follow the Lord, to obey the Lord. And if not, the hand will be against them as they were with the fathers. Saul, the disobedient king. We're going to look at that this evening. Father, I pray that you would bless this time. Help this to be an encouragement to your people. May we be challenged, convicted, encouraged. Whatever the need is this evening, I pray that this will be a help, a benefit, as we are gathered here tonight. We ask that you'd speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see the nation has asked for a king. God gives them King Saul. And Samuel encourages the people that you need to obey God. You need to follow his voice. Serve him. Don't rebel against his commands. And as we look at the life of Saul and the reign of Saul as king over Israel, I am intrigued by several questions. Why was King Saul rejected by God? And the easy answer is, well, he disobeyed him, right? But King Saul disobeyed too. Or King David, rather, yes. In fact, David committed adultery. I don't see that in the life of Saul. David then followed that up with cover up and murder. So why was King Saul rejected by God? I think that's an interesting question. I think another interesting question is, King Saul started off pretty well. No, here he was, just kind of minding his own business, and God, Saul, came to him, and he was kind of appointed king. He wasn't necessarily looking for that, but he was head and shoulders above the rest of the people, and he was placed there, and it seemed like he was starting off well. He did all right, and he seemed to be doing okay. But what happened? Yeah, we see jealousy. We see disobedience, certainly. He didn't commit murder, but he sure tried. Boy, he ended up bad, didn't he? We're going to see that at the end. Why? And I see my questions here are all number one. It was not intended to be that way. I don't know how it turned out to be that way, but they're all number one. But I think the most intriguing question to me is, was King Saul a believer? Was he a believer? That's a tough question, in my opinion. But I think I'll let you kind of come to your own conclusions as we work through this. But here's the first point that I want us to see this evening. Obeying when you want is still disobedience. You see, I call Saul the disobedient king because every single turn it seemed like he was disobeying. Well, he was kind of obeying, but he kind of did his own thing. He kind of did his thing when he wanted to. He kind of wanted to be in control. He didn't really want to follow exactly what he was being told to do. And so I think we can see here in the text that obeying, as Saul did, obeying when you want is still disobedience. Let's look at these texts. Back in chapter 10, verse 8, Samuel told Saul, he says, "Thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee." You see, the Israelites were under oppression by the Amalekites. And Samuel says to him, "Behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." And so Saul was supposed to wait there for Samuel. Saul was supposed to wait there for Samuel to offer sacrifices. He said, "It's going to be a week. You need to wait for me." And as you know the story, Saul, of course, got antsy, right? He waited much of that time, but then he obeyed, kind of. Look at chapter 13, verse 5. "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore and the multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Notice this, and he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me." Saul said to the people, "Bring a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And instead of waiting for Samuel to get there, Saul began these sacrifices. It says he offered the burnt offering. Verse 10, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering, he couldn't wait a few more minutes. He'd been waiting for 7 days. Obedience when you want is still disobedience. As soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And notice what Samuel says. "What hast thou done, Saul?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore," said I, "the Philistines," he always had reasons, he always had excuses. Verse 12, "Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord." I love this. He says, "I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I had no choice." But Saul, obedience, when you want, is still disobedience. And so he says, "I forced myself, therefore, and I offered burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly." Samuel's instructions had been clear. Samuel said, "You need to wait until I get there, and we'll offer sacrifices, and then I'll tell you what to do." Saul didn't wait. He obeyed in his own time. He obeyed when he wanted to. He did his own thing. Samuel says, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God." Saul, it's still disobedience. "Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." By the way, I think that's a key phrase. David was called in other places in Scripture multiple times a man after God's own heart. Why is that? And how does that make it distinct from Saul? And why God rejected Saul as king over Israel but accepted David? "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." But this would become a pattern in Saul's life. He would do his own thing, his way, when he wanted to. Obedience, when you want, is still disobedience. In chapter 15, if we jump ahead, I'm going to jump back and forth here because this is a big narrative text. But in chapter 15, verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel.
Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. And I think earlier, I think it was, I mentioned the Amalekites at that time. It was the Philistines. Here it's the Amalekites. And Samuel gives him some other instructions. You guys are familiar with the story. He says, Samuel says to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people. So hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord in verse 2, I remember that which Amalekite did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. This was God's judgment on the Amalekites. And God said very clearly through Samuel, I want you to destroy them completely. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel, and I'll use the modern word donkey. The instructions were clear. Verse 4, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Quite the army. Verse 7, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Well, he destroyed them utterly except for the king. And he took some cattle and different things like that. But Saul and the people, verse 9, spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Oh, wait a second. I thought he was supposed to utterly destroy them. Man, woman, and child, baby, infant, sheep, cattle, everything. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed. So if it was worthless, they destroyed that. But they kept all the good stuff. They kept the stuff that they could benefit from. And they would not utterly destroy them. So not only is obedience when you want still disobedience, obedience in what you want is still disobedience. Oh yeah, I'll obey in this area, but not over here. I'll kill all these people, but I'm going to spare the king, and I'm going to spare the best of the cattle. Obeying what you want is still disobedience. And again, Saul repeated this over the course of his life and of his reign. In chapter 15 and verse 10, so here's the response. The word of the Lord. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Really, Saul? Of course, he's real spiritual. He's real pious. And he comes to Samuel and says, I have obeyed God's commandments. Well, not really, because obedience, when you want, is still disobedience. Obedience with what you want is still disobedience. And can I say this too? This is not just a teenage problem. This is a problem Saul, an adult, a king of the nation of Israel had. And we can get caught up in this. and be real pious and real spiritual and make excuses and pass the blame and point fingers and say, well, I know I didn't really obey, but I had good reasons not to. We can play these little games in our own lives and in our own minds. So Saul comes to Samuel, or Samuel came to Saul, and Saul says, blessed be thou the Lord, I've performed his commandments. Of course, you know the story. Samuel says, well, what is this that I hear? The bleating of the sheep in mine ears, the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And now the excuses start flowing. Saul said, verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites. They have brought them, notice that, from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. And notice, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. But the rest we've utterly destroyed. But Saul, you didn't obey. You can't just obey what you want to obey. You have to obey fully, or it's not obedience. And so obeying when you want is just still disobedience. Obeying what you want is still disobedience. And obeying how you want is still disobedience. Notice as we continue in verse 20. So we have this in between dialogue, a few verses. I kind of skipped over some things. But Saul says to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He still insists, I have obeyed. But you didn't obey when. You didn't obey when. The timing was all off. You did things your own way. You didn't obey what God said in the specifics and the details or fully. And you didn't obey how God wanted you to obey. So in verse 20, Saul says to Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But you didn't utterly destroy them. You can't obey how you want to obey, Saul. You can't decide, well, I'm going to do this and not that. You can't decide, well, I'm going to save the king, but the rest I've utterly destroyed. You can't make excuses and say, well, the people did this, or we did it for this reason. You're doing it your way. You're doing it the way you want, and that's not obedience. Verse 21, but the people, Saul says, took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And we did it so we can worship God. But you can't obey God how you want to obey God. Obedience has to be in God's timing, on God's terms, and fully and completely. I think what this shows us is Saul lacked, well, he wasn't an obedient king. He was disobedient. He lacked faith in God, trust that Samuel would be there, trust in God's word, that things would turn out if he would just obey. There's so much here in the life of Saul that you can see he wasn't a man after God's own heart. And yes, I understand David committed adultery, David committed murder, but yet you compare the two. David sought after God. He was broken over his sin. He learned from his mistakes. And yes, grievous sin can be forgiven. I'm sorry, forgiven and forgotten, but it can be forgiven. And we're going to fail. We're going to fall. But if we come back to God in repentance and faith and trust and brokenness, we can experience that forgiveness. If you read the text, Saul begged for forgiveness. But in my opinion, as you read the text, he wasn't genuine in that. He just wanted to get out of the trouble. And he keeps repeating the same mistake over and over and not obeying and doing his own thing. And we're going to see that as we move forward. So we see that obedience, when you want, is still disobedience. Obedience in what you want is still disobedience. Obedience how you want is still disobedience. It has to be obedience on God's terms. And Samuel says to Saul, let's see here, I think I read these verses. I finished that, yes. Verse 22. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God couldn't care less about your sacrifice if you're not obeying him. God couldn't care less about your worship if you're not obeying him. "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." You see, Saul's problem wasn't simply disobeying in a small little matter one time. This was a pattern. And it showed not just a heart of disobedience, but it showed a heart of rebellion. A rebellion against God. Samuel says to him in verse 23, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." And by the way, he's close to witchcraft at the end of his life. We're going to see that in a few minutes. "And stubbornness," he was rebellious, he was stubborn. "Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry," because his idolatry was himself. He wouldn't trust God when Goliath was standing in front of the army. He wouldn't trust God in waiting for Samuel to get there. He wouldn't trust God that God would take care of things and just obey and just utterly destroy the Amalekites like he had been instructed. "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king." So we see Saul's disobedience led to denials. "Oh, I obey God." Lies, excuses, covering up, blame shifting. Saul was very good at that. So we see in verse 13, Samuel comes to Saul. Because it wasn't just that he disobeyed one time and it was just a mistake and he learned from his mistake and he apologized and he was broken. No, no. He had a pattern of this. He had a heart of rebellion, a stubbornness that he was going to do his own thing. And so Samuel comes to Saul in verse 13. Of course, Saul says to him, "Blessed be thou the Lord. I perform the commandment of the Lord." That's a lie. Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I here. And Saul said, let's just skip ahead because I've already read these verses. I want to get to verse 20. Let's see here. Oh, I see what I understand what I was getting at. So I'm just supporting this whole idea that he's just constantly making excuses. We see that in the text. I've already emphasized that. So he says in verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites. The people spared the best of the sheep. He's pointing fingers. He's passing blame. He's making excuses. Oh, we were going to sacrifice to the Lord. But the rest we've utterly destroyed. We see that in verse 20. I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. That's a lie. I've gone the way the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have destroyed them. But the people, they took of the spoil. We did it to sacrifice unto God. Well, Saul's disobedience revealed a rebellious heart. So here's what Samuel says. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Look down in verse 23. Because, at the end of the verse, thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. That's the result. You have rejected the word of the Lord. You've had a pattern of this. You have a heart of disobedience. You have a heart of rebellion. You are stubborn. You won't obey. You obey when you want. You obey what you want. You obey how you want. That's not obedience. And because you've rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king. Now here's the question. Does that mean he wasn't saved? I don't know the answer to that. But I can tell you this. Saul's life doesn't show much evidence of salvation and of being a believer. It's nothing but disobedience, rebellion, doing his own thing from here on out. It didn't get better. It got worse. Saul's disobedience resulted in rejection from God. And again, I don't know if that means God rejected him as a believer. Will we see him in heaven and be able to talk to Saul in heaven and ask him about all these events? I don't know. But I do know this, because of his disobedience, his stubbornness, his rebellious heart, God rejected him as king over his nation. Even when Saul says in verse 24, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. He says, he still seems to be making excuses here. Because I feared the people, and I obeyed their voice. You know, they kind of forced me. They kind of forced my hand. But yes, I've sinned. You got me. You know, that seems to be his attitude. And I think it's demonstrated in the way that he lives his life. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. He wants that relationship with God, but he won't obey God. But notice what Samuel says. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee. This is sad. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being the king over Israel. He repeats that. And as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul grabbed hold of the skirt of his mantle and rent it. He's begging, he's pleading. He's in a bad way. He knows he's made a mistake. He knows this is not good. Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. In this, the end of the chapter, I've skipped a few verses, but verse 35, at the very end of the chapter, this is sad. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Samuel never went again to see Saul. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul continued to demonstrate his disobedience and rebellious heart throughout his reign as king. He refuses to face up to Goliath in chapter 17. This is back up. In chapter 17, ahead of this, actually. He becomes jealous, of course, of David. Judy mentioned jealousy earlier. He becomes jealous of David in chapter 18. He tries to kill David, starting in chapter 19. And he knows that David's been anointed as the next king of Israel, and yet he's going after David for the rest of his life, Saul's life. He's going after David, trying to kill him. He kills the priests who helped David in chapter 22. You see, it just goes on and on. He seeks then counsel through divination. So this is the end of Saul's life. All the way to chapter 28, verses are going to be on your screen, and we'll end with this. Verse 3, now Samuel was dead. So at this point, Samuel had died. All Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, the wizards, out of the land. So there's a good thing, okay? He's get rid of all the diviners and the witchcraft people, those with familiar spirits, the wizards, get rid of them all. Verse 4, the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. A few verses later, when Saul inquired of the Lord, he's still seeking after the Lord, but the Lord's not responding. There comes a time when God says, enough is enough. Saul inquires of the Lord what he should do. The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. So what does Saul do? He just got rid of all the diviners and familiar spirits and witchcrafters and so on. But he says to his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. This gets a little strange, I'll admit. His servant said to him, behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. So he comes to this woman. At first she's afraid because Saul had just gotten rid of all of them, either killing them or booting them out or whatever he did. And so this woman is scared. But Saul comes to her and says to this woman, whom shall I bring? Or the woman says to him, whom shall I bring unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. What? Verse 12, and when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. So now she's really scared. The king said unto her, be not afraid. But what did you see? The woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor. Oh, this is I skipped ahead, so this is verse 13. So this is now Samuel appears before Saul. I told you this gets a little weird. So through this woman, somehow miraculously, God allows this, and Samuel, from the dead, appears before Saul. And Samuel says to Saul, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from me and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into thy hand. So here's Saul, the end of his life. The Lord won't hear him. He goes to this woman. Saul comes, he asks for Samuel to speak to Samuel. Samuel comes to him. Samuel's like, why did you inquire of me? The Lord's already rejected you as king in Israel. And Samuel reveals to him that you're going to be in battle, and tomorrow you're going to be killed, and your sons. The next chapter, Saul is in battle with the Philistines, and he is killed, and that's the end of King Saul's life. That's the end of King's reign. And sadly, Jonathan is also killed along with Saul. And that is Saul, the disobedient king. Why? Because he wanted to obey when he wanted. He wanted to obey what he wanted. He wanted to obey how he wanted. But it's still disobedience. It revealed a rebellious, stubborn, disobedient heart. And it was demonstrated throughout his life, even to the end, when he seeks out a diviner. And weirdly enough, Samuel comes to him and says, tomorrow you're going to lose your life in battle. And so it is. Was King Saul a believer? I have my doubts. I have my doubts. But I do know this. He was disobedient, and because of his disobedience, God rejected him as king. Because obedience can only be obedience on God's terms, not on our terms. May we be people of obedience. And yes, when we fail, when we stumble, when we fall, may we have brokenness and sorrow and repentance. May we be like David, a man after God's heart, desiring the things God desires, desiring the things that God is trying to accomplish and seeking to obey him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. This can be difficult. We all have various motivations that drive us. We can make excuses. We can play these games and be pious and spiritual. But help us to be in the big arc of our lives, to be people of the book, people of obedience, seeking you, seeking your face, seeking your will, seeking to obey you in all things and in the ways that you have commanded. May it be so. May you help us. We thank you for these examples from the Old Testament, some bad examples and some good. May we be like David and be a man after God's own heart. We give you thanks. Bless this time, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.